Rabbi said there's a machlokes between the Purushim in the understanding of the link that the Sphira Taimah has from Pesach to Shavuot. When it says Ispatim Lechem Mochot HaShabbos, you should start counting from the day after HaShabbos. And we know that the halacha is that HaShabbos means Yom Tov. Sometimes Shabbos means Shabbos, sometimes it means Yom Tov, sometimes it means a week, sometimes it means 7 years. In this context, Shabbos means Yom Tov. And the Tzedukim, who were Apikorsim, they didn't hold a Torah Shabbat there, and therefore they took the literal meaning of start counting from the day after Shabbos to start counting from the first Sunday available after Pesach begins. And the Gemaras bring that the Purushim went out of their way to destroy the Tzedukim's pshat and to celebrate whenever they could that they were conquering this other pshat. Now there are lots of ideas of heresy throughout the Torah. Why did this particular machlokes catch the attention as if this is what it's all about? So I heard recently that Mimachlat HaShabbos linking the counting of the Omer from Pesach to Shavuot creates a direct link from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah on Sinai. That the whole purpose of Pesach climaxes in Shavuot. The Torah doesn't give any date of Shavuot. It's intricately linked to Pesach. What the Tzedukim wanted to do was to take it away from that link and just give it a calendar date. You start counting from Sunday, and 7 weeks later is Shavuot. It's no longer part of this whole Hemshech. So there's a very clear sequence of the freedom that we celebrated on Pesach climaxing in Matan Torah. So much so that the Medrash asks, why didn't we go to Sinai on Yom Kippur? We were already over the, we've crossed the Kriyas Yom Suf. There's no problem of speed of travel. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu take us straight from the successful exodus, Yetzia from Mitzrayim, into Matan Torah. That's what it's all about. Why have such a, Shmini Atzeres is straight off the Sukkot. There is no gap. So if Atzeres is to Pesach what Shmini Atzeres is to Sukkot, to do the same. So the title of the talk that I was asked to give this morning is based on a very strange answer that Medrash gives. The Medrash says that we couldn't receive the Torah straight after leaving Mitzrayim because we were still influenced by the muzzle of Nisan. The muzzle of Nisan, the astrological sign of Nisan, is muzzle tler. It's a sheep, Aries, and Torah is very important. And to receive Torah while we're still under the muzzle of a shepselech is not really tzugepas. It's not really a refined form of matan Torah. Very strange medrash. We know that the muzzle of Claire is the muzzle of Nisan because of Korban Pesach. That's where it comes from. That Korban Pesach is a very choshev avach. So why, simply because it happens to be a little four-legged animal, that shouldn't be the star sign when the Torah is given? So the Medrash continues and says, okay, so let's move on. A week later, a week after the end of Pesach, we go into a new month, Iyar, and a new muzzle. Now that muzzle is also not such a muzzle. The muzzle of Iyar is muzzle Shor. Shor is an ox, Taurus. An ox is also not super fast to Torah. It's not really congruent with Torah values. An ox. Finally, the Medrash says we've arrived in the third month, the month of Sivan. Sivan is Mazel Tovim, the mazel of twins, human beings, not little sheep, not big oxen, but human beings, twins. That's a nice month for Matan Torah. So Bayom Azeh Bom Mitzvah Sinai, that's when we arrived, and everything else from Rosh Chodesh Sivan was the Hachana, was the preparation for Matan Torah. So in Yeshivish terms, there's the archetype Medrash Pella. It's a Medrash which really doesn't seem to make any sense. Since when is the Torah subjugated to the star signs? Ein Mazal Yisrael, what's it got to do with it? So the first shot that I want to share is one which I heard from a very big Boki in Medrash, of Marizor Glazer Samshlita. And he explains that the matzav of Klal Yisrael, the actual character of the nation, as we moved from Mitzrayim to Sinai, is depicted by these mazalos. In other words, when we came out of Mitzrayim, we really were like sheep, like little lambs. We were newly freed slaves. We were just grasping the fact that we had freedom. We were huddled together like lambs. There was a sense of togetherness and unity, but it was, you know, sometimes when you go to a nursery school the first day, so all the children, remember, they've all been kicked out of the homes, they're all crying, they're all upset that the mother's rejected them after looking after them for 3 years. And they're all huddled together in unity, because that horrible teacher was now going to start telling them what to do. So we had a sense of achdus. But it wasn't a unity which was a mature sense of achdus. It was simply like lambs follow the next one. Rabbi Gleason said they wanted an experiment with a whole lot of sheep. They took them from one end of the field to the other in single line, and in the middle they had a stick which was about 1 foot raised from the floor. So they had to jump over the stick. Fine. In the middle of the experiment they took the stick away. And what happened? The sheep carried on at that point jumping. Why did they jump? Not because the stick was there, because the one in front jumped. So literally following like lambs, the one jumped after the other. That was the muscle that we were in. The Mazel Tler, the star sign of Nisan, was actually what our individual situation was. And Torah cannot be given to a nation which hasn't matured into self-understanding. So the period of individual growth took place during Iyar. And the mazel of Iyar really depicts individuation, personal focus. A bull, an ox, doesn't really have any sensitivity to what goes on around, other than their own needs. In fact, they tell me that if you take a bull and put it into a china shop, then you're not going to have much china left at the end. They don't seem to have any sensitivity to values, to worth. But we had to go through that period. We had to begin to focus. We were now Tanei Chayim, and before we could be adult enough to receive the Torah, we had to discover ourselves as individuals, as Yechidim. And the Mazel Shor is a critical period of growth. The difficulty is that any self-esteem, self-growth, self-competence, all of these things which begin with the word self tend to be selfish. And when a person is selfish, it's also not good enough. I've got to develop my own character. But if I'm only focusing on myself and I'm not part of the tibble, that's also no good. So even though it was essential that we went through this phase of Iyar, of self-growth, it's still not yet ready for Matan Torah. Matan Torah came when, as adults, when we recognize our own worth and our own individuality, we could still look over our shoulder and recognize that we're not alone, but each one of us is a crucial part of a whole tzibur. And the famous Medrash at the beginning of the Perek on Matan Torah, Kapitel Yutes in Yisrael, in Shmais, Vayisum Erfidim Vayavor Mitzvah Sinai, when Kal Yisrael journeyed from Erfidim, they came to the desert of Sinai, Vayachanu Bamidbar, they camped in the desert, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahor, it suddenly changes from plural to singular. Rashi quotes the Medrash in Psik Tei Eichad Abasi, Kiish Echad Belev Echad. Why did it suddenly change from plural to singular? Because at that point, when we were at Sinai, we were absolutely united. And that's depicted by the Mazel of Ta'omim. Gemini, twins, are two adults, but they're twins. I don't know if any of you are twins or know twins, but there's a special fusion, a special connection between twins that is a sense of total unity, despite the fact that they're separate individuals. My own Hashashiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Atal, used to give a drosha, give a shmuz, in the middle of the night on Tikkun Leil Shavuot. And as was his style, he had a theme for each particular occasion, which he would repeat on an annual basis, that anyone listening to Reb Chaim would think that he'd just written the shmuz and was giving it for the first time because of the way he got so involved in it. And the theme on at 12 o'clock in the night on Tikkun Leil Shavuot was his theme of unity. And Reb Chaim would stand up and he would talk about the power of numbers that we see in the Torah. The power of numbers is exponential, it gets greater and greater, and the power of unity, the power of Achdus, which is much greater than the power of numbers itself. And he would say to a full packed Beis Medrash that if we are sitting and learning for the Tikkun Leil with a sense of numbers, then we're very welcome to go to another Beis Medrash. But if we're sitting together in Mir with a sense of Achdus, of unity, that is the mood of Kabbalah Sotera of Matan Torah. And he almost said that only because the Torah could be made by Yichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahor, that we had this unity, could we be zeichet to receive the Torah. Had we not been in that state of unity, then the miracle of Gilui Shechina on Sinai and Matan Torah wouldn't have happened. And in fact, it was a miracle of unity which Rashi says has been very rare in Jewish history, before and after. This was one of the rare moments of total unity. With this understanding, we might also be able to begin to see why the period of Sphira is a period of semi-mourning, of Avedus, because of what happened to the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. 24,000 Yechidim, special people, working on themselves, But maybe that inner focus caused a slight lack of recognition of the other Talmidim around us. And maybe the reason why we choose, Chazal have given us the simcha of counting Svira, being ready to prepare for Shavuot, and at the same time the Avelos, is to make sure that we, while we go through the phase of self-discovery and self-growth, do not lose track that the ultimate goal is also to be united ki ish echad v'leiv echad. The truth is that there is a natural sequence in all relationships, if you think about it. I work a lot with engaged couples and married couples, and when you go to a tnoim, when you go to a vot, you see the chosen color, and they're not much on cloud nine. They're totally united, but they're a bit like babies. I mean, I'm allowed to say chosen color, a bit like babies. They don't really know what a relationship is. They've been out for 5 minutes, so they think they know each other. And they begin this togetherness, not as a baby mother Claire, like little dads, isn't it? Very nice. It's so sweet. And then they have to start getting ready for the chasna. They have to start learning about themselves, either during the engagement or straight after the chuppah. Then they start to discover that they're different individuals. And it can be sometimes a difficult adjustment. From cloud nine plus, they go to, I don't know, minus cloud nine, basically. That's this mazel shor. But the hope is that b'siyata d'shmaya, they then, as mature individuals, understand one another and have a mature relationship, which is k'yesh echo v'leiv echo. Another area where I've seen it is when a new kehillah begins. New kehillah starts. So the individuals who get together, the minyan, to start, it's full of enthusiasm and everyone's focused in the same direction, and it's all very exciting. Open a bit medrash, start a minyan, and everything's fine and good, but it's also, it hasn't had a chance to mature. The different yechidim within the tzibur don't really recognize that they might be different to one another. And so usually after the honeymoon of the new tzibur is over, so then some people want this way, some people want that way, and it can be actually quite difficult. But the hope is that Yadav Yishmael, after going through this middle phase of Mazel Shor, of individuals recognizing what they are and where they fit into the tzibur, then the Kehillah hopefully then rejoins Kishecha B'leiv Echad, but in a much more mature way. And I'm sure we can think of many more examples of how it seems that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us this nature of Nisaniyah Sivan in all a build-up of all different relationships. Later, many years after I understood this concept, I saw another pshat in the Medrash from the Shem Mishmuel. The Shem Mishmuel brings another Medrash about Matan Torah, which focuses on a different aspect to the medrash that Rashi quotes, Ki Yesh Echo B'Leiv Echad. There's a medrash in Devarim where the Torah talks about what it was like at Sinai, and because it says Kol, everybody was there, so this medrash is said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Interesting, who features very prominently this time of year. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says that had any single individual in Klal Yisrael not being there at Sinai, the Torah couldn't have been given. It needed, of the several million people who were there at Sinai, every single person to be there. Medrash Rabbah Devarim, Perek Zion, and Ches in the, the one chapter of this. What does it mean? Why was there a need? Kanai Nahara, there were millions of people there. Why should one person more, one person less make any difference? So he explains, taken from his father and then developed by himself, the Shemeshmuel explains that not only must there be a sense of unity, but there also needs to be a sense of every single different individual counts. It's not just that we're united, but we recognize and tolerate and acknowledge the different dayas, the different chumas, the different middas of every single yochid. In English, there are two expressions of how we put people together. When all different people mix to make one tzibur, so there's one phenomenon which is called the melting pot. I think that the United States of America claims to be a melting pot. I sincerely hope it isn't. A melting pot is like you take all different metals and put them into a big pot and you boil them up until they become liquid, and then it cools down and all the different metals that were put into that pot have become one gush, one solid. So you're supposed to lose your individual differences and become, it's been an American. I'm part of this United States of America. That's not called Kiyus Shecho B'nei Bechot. Losing one's personal, individual, unique attributes. There's another concept which is called the salad bowl. I'm not sure to this tzibur of the male species how many are familiar with preparation of a salad, but a good salad has many different sha'ar yerokas in it. They're mixed and blended in a way that together it's a beautiful salad, but you can still see inside the bowl each different herb in its own way. It doesn't fuse to the rest, it doesn't lose its individual character. What makes it special is the blend of all of these in one bowl is a gavaldi gazach. Ki shechod b'lev echod has to be a salad bowl. It has to be that kind of achdus. And he suggests, the Shemeshmuel suggests, that that was the mistake that the Talmidim of Rav Akiva had. They understood the principle of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha from the Rebbe, from the Torah. Rav Akiva said, "There, Talgod of the Torah, this is what the Torah is all about." But they saw this concept as being totally united and meshed and fused with one another. So he brings a moshel. He says, "If I write the Dvar Torah with my right hand, because I'm right-handed. So does the left hand, when I'm finished, take my right hand and say, 'Yashar Koach, did a good job'? No. Because my left hand and my right hand are all part of the same person. My left hand doesn't need to be mechabed my right hand. If with one of my feet, I kick something round, and as a result the whole world gets very excited because I've done something very important, so do I expect my left foot to sort of stroke the right foot, Yashar Koach, well kicked? No. All one person. The Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva understood V'yohavta l'reacha kamocha. They understood Ki'ezecho v'leirecho, that it's one yochid. So there's no need to be mechaber one another. Because if we're all one person, the left hand doesn't need to shake the right hand. And that's why Rav Shimon ben Yochai had to say, no, there's something else, there's another dimension. We have to celebrate difference. We have to acknowledge the kayach of the yochid. And only with that blend, that sharing of a sense of achdus, of kiyashech of belei v'echod, and yet recognizing people's differences, that becomes the, both midrashim together become the way to celebrate Matan Torah. And he says from his father, that's how his father understands his medrash of the three different phases. That Mazel Kleh is like the sheep, the flock, Tzoyin Kedoshim, that Tzibur, a flock, one big enmeshed nation. That's how it was after we left Mitzrayim. Mazel Shor is respect for each individual. As we said earlier, a Shor is very self-centered and knows what he is personally, separately, individually. And only when we've gone through the phases of knowing what a Tzibur is and knowing what a Yochid is, then both Midrashim can come together when it comes finally to Sivan and finally to Matan Torah, when we have this sense both of Achdus and recognizing and celebrating and acknowledging each and every Yochid and being mechabed everyone because they are separate but united. That's the ideal Hachana for Matan Torah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.